Small dogs are complex, or are they? That's exactly what we're talking about today. Welcome back to the McCann Dogs Podcast. Meg has joined us today on the McCann Dogs Podcast, and Meg has been with McCann Dogs since she was a very, very young person. So I'm going to let her tell you the story. How did you come by working with McCann Dogs?
Well, honestly, funny enough, actually, I think that my first memory of McCann's has nothing to do with me actually working there. I was a kid who went with a school trip to the Rockton Fair.
Okay.
And I actually saw Kale doing demos. I can't remember who it was for sure.
Do you remember how old you were?
I was probably like 8, maybe. Okay.
Maybe Piper she had
It was probably Piper. Yep. And I remember being like, well, I could do that. And I want to do that. And I remember going home and I already had a lovely mixed breed, like Collie Lab Shepherd Cross.
Okay.
And she was fabulous. And I already liked training her, but I did even more that week and that month or whatever. But anyway, that's my first memory of Kale. But then
So you didn't know her at that point?
Not then. A clue. Okay. She went to Millgrove School. I went to Greensville School. We were rivals.
Okay. Yes, rivals.
And then we both ended up at a middle school together in grade 6. And I walked in to, we were in our first homeroom class together in grade 6. And I was like, that's the dog girl. I don't know.
The dog girl.
And I knew it. And right?
I in grade 6, reputation.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm going to be friends with that girl. And sure enough, I was. And I am. That sounds like we're not friends anymore. Yeah. Yeah, so I guess grade 6, you're like 11 years old. And so then I started, we were great friends, and I started following her, going with the McCanns. I basically was adopted by the McCanns as like grade 7, grade 8. And I started going to all the dog shows. I would handle one of their more well-trained dogs, of course.
Okay.
Snickers was one of the first dogs I got to handle. She was a little Border Collie Jack Russell and so much fun to run.
So running her in agility, right? Or fly ball
and agility. Yeah, we would go to the Ottawa horse shows. We'd go to the Royal Winter Fair. Deb and Marty, basically, I just became part of the family. And then finally, I convinced my parents that I was serious about this. And I had done it for many years. We were the Mick kids on our flyball team.
Right? Yeah.
And I was the box loader if I ever didn't have a dog that I could like steal or borrow.
And to anybody who doesn't know, the box loader is basically the person that stands at the box and puts the tennis ball in the hole so that the dog coming down can get that ball once they trigger the box.
Very difficult job in a way.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Because you gotta move fast.
You gotta be fast. And
if you're light,
two holes.
If you're really light. But it's really hard. You have to brace yourself because we used to put weights in the bottom of the box because the dogs would hit the box and it would move because I was like 100 pounds maybe. It was hilarious.
Yeah, when you're getting hit full on by a hard flying dog trying to get as fast as they can to the box and back.
Yeah.
I can imagine that would be hard standing. Yeah.
And the boxes themselves weigh about 100 pounds. So even lifting it and getting it out for the next
team. Oh, I had helpers.
And,
people helped me move it. Yeah.
Do they really weigh that much?
They're heavy.
They are
heavy.
They're heavy.
A fly ball
I don't know if it's
myself.
100.
Maybe not 100 pounds. Maybe not 100 pounds.
I'd say maybe 50.
That's probably more reasonable.
Let's figure out what that is.
Our next project. They are definitely heavy, but I was going to be impressed with myself and my arm strength because I can carry a fly ball box.
Although there is the big weights, that you put in them too.
Yeah, we put like 25 pound weights probably. Yeah.
Unless you had like a giant person.
Fly ball is no joke.
It isn't. Anyway, so it was so much fun. And then finally, I said to my parents, I want a Border Collie. And my parents are, I don't know if you could call them old school or not, but they were like, we're not buying you a dog. So, and you need to prove that you're committed. So I brought our 3-year-old Shepherd Cross to class.
Okay.
And I trained Maddie for a full year.
I remember being an instructor in Maddie's classes. Yeah? Yes.
Well, I took her through all of the levels. I even did beginner agility with her before the agility arena even existed. We did it in the main hall. And then finally, after a year, I was like, I'm committed. Can I please get my Border Collie now? Yeah. So I was 15 when I got Fidge.
Yeah. So, and this is where you entered into my life. Or I should say probably more like I entered into your life. But I started with Quincy, my Rottweiler. This was 1999.
Yes.
So I don't remember how old I was, but I was a little bit older than 15. But regardless, we were in the same puppy essentials class.
So crazy.
And I remember watching
what are the chances?
You. And I remember like there was an instinct in me that said that person obviously knows more than the average person in this class.
I would
because
hope so.
Myself and everybody else in class was like being, you know, torn apart by our puppy's teeth and like really struggling. And here was this young woman that I kept watching and thinking like, She knows her stuff. And I actually remember,
too. You just didn't think that you were so far behind?
Aw. Well, I did know that I was in over my head with my Rottweiler, but I also knew that I was learning.
I was teasing you.
No, no, no.
Totally.
Of course, of course, of course. But I do remember sitting there and thinking at one point, and this shows how far I've come in my own learning, in my own journey, I remember thinking, oh, she's really not letting that puppy be a puppy. Like, she's making that puppy listen. And, like, I remember sitting
in my head.
She's mean. I remember thinking that before I learned more.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting in, we used to have the back room talks in an actual back room by the store in McCann's instead of in the classroom. And I remember sitting in that room, and we would all be in individual chairs at that point, but fairly close together. And I remember you continued to make Fidget mind by bringing her back to your chair as she would try to wander and visit the other puppies. Yeah. You'd bring her back and make her mind. And I remember thinking, like, oh, should I be doing that?
Mm-hmm.
That seems mean.
Yeah.
But
it's working.
That person knows what she's doing.
Right, right.
And yes. So the confusion point. So
anyways, absolutely.
Lots of history there,
so
for
much.
Sure. And, like, you have run the gambit in terms of all of the positions you've held at McCann's.
Yeah.
So tell us what you've done at McCann's.
Well, you know what? I was so lucky. I've never been the kid who had to work a crummy part-time job that you're like, I hate this and I'm only doing it to make money.
Serving burgers and fast
food. I never did that. Yeah. I will say I've worked hard, but I never had that type of part-time job. I started working in the office when I was in grade 9. Mm-hmm. And I would answer the phones, and I learned so much from listening to, like, our greats in the office,
yes.
People like Peggy and like Denise. And just when you listen to dog trainers all the time, you can absorb a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
And then next thing you know, it was like, okay, I wasn't just running the cash register selling treats. I'd say, I think I feel comfortable telling that person what size leash they should have. And I think I feel comfortable, you know, fitting that gentle leader and things like that. Now, some of the things I would have to ask for help, of course, but I worked in the office throughout all of high school, but then I would say around the same time, maybe when Kale and I were like 17-ish, maybe like after a couple of years, we started apprenticing as instructors. And
I
then,
remember that too.
Yeah. And I actually did take a little break from McCann's during my undergrad. I went to McMaster for 4 years, and I just couldn't do it all.
Of course.
I brought my border collie with me. She lived in my student house, and I still played with her and walked her and trained her, but like I didn't get to teach at that time. And then when I was doing my master's, I came back. Actually, I was like, okay, I have a little more time now, and I'm missing this so much. So I was head instructor, I think maybe at the end of high school, possibly. Now I can't really remember. It's kind of hazy.
Yeah,
but for sure, when I came back, I was a head instructor for many, many years, and I love teaching.
Do you remember you and Kale started a day camp for kids?
Oh my gosh, yes.
You ran a day camp.
We did. It was so much fun.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I even helped with the doggy daycare for a little while.
Right, yep.
Yeah.
Well, we had a very short-lived doggy daycare.
But it was fun because we also trained them.
Yeah,
the dogs.
We did it differently. We definitely did it differently. Yeah.
I still have. You made me a little beaded necklace that says Iggy on it in that day camp.
Are you kidding
me? I still have it.
Seriously?
I should have brought it. Aww. I should have brought it. Yeah, it's in my jewelry box in one of the little drawers. Yeah, and
that's
I was looking
crazy.
And go, Megan made me this.
Aw, yeah, Megan. Who calls me Megan?
Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have.
It's okay.
I always
joking.
Call you Meg, but you know, probably because I was reminiscing about when you were a teenager. Maybe that. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I have it. It's in my jewel box.
Aww,
and it
I didn't know
Iggy.
That. That's
yeah,
so
it's
funny.
On an orange cord.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's four beads that says Iggy.
She was a good dog, too.
Iggy was one of my dogs. In case you guys are like, why would she make herself an Iggy?
I think she makes Swanee a bracelet that says Iggy.
Iggy.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You did an excellent job head instructing for a lot of years, but then you got busier again,
so busy.
And we had to say farewell to that part of Meg.
Yeah.
So tell us what you got busy with at that
point. I hope I come back to that. I will say that. I do hope eventually I get to teach in person again.
I think you will.
But then I don't even know how it all happened, but I've had two children, and I think it was...
I know how children happen.
It's not that kind of podcast, is it?
Wow. It is educational, but
yes.
In a different way.
Stay tuned.
We'll save that for McCann after dark. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So then I actually started working from home more. So I would get my kids to bed, and then I would do online feedback. And that really exploded, of course, during COVID.
Yeah.
I would do that a couple nights a week. And it's different. Mm-hmm. It is very different the way you support students online.
It really is.
But I wouldn't say it's worse. But I do love the face-to-face interaction. I will say I still do miss that.
Having experienced both myself, I know that there's pros and cons to each. And what I love about in-person, of course, is that immediate feedback, immediate interaction, getting to see things in the moment, getting to fix things in the moment. But what I love about online is that we get so much further into our students' lives. And not that we want to be intrusive in their lives, but in-person classes, we see them for like an hour a week and we might hear from them over email or by phone call in between classes. But for the most part, we don't get to actually be involved in their day-to-day training. Whereas with online, it's sort of all-encompassing because we're available for support almost all the time with our students. We do take weekends off, of course, to rest and recover and be as good as we possibly can be for the next week. But pretty much they get support 24
and for 4 months too, for 4 months or longer. Yes.
Last night was a perfect example of this. I was doing email responses last night and I'm writing this fairly lengthy email back to a student and I was trying to answer all of her questions. And then in the middle of me responding, I heard a little ding and I looked at my inbox and it was an email from the same woman. I went, okay, I'm going to finish up what's going on here. And I sent it to her. And then she was so cute. She started off her next email with, I really hope multiple emails a day is allowed. But this just happened. And she happened to be recording something and her puppy was being a bit naughty. It was a 13-week-old little doodle thing. And it got excited by her daughter and grabbed her daughter's hair. And it was, this just happened. How did I respond? Because she actually recorded the whole interaction on how she responded to the puppy. Right. And could I change that at all? Could I do this better? And of course, I immediately went, perfect. And I have no problem responding again. And that's the awesome thing. It's like, it's really unlimited support.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Whereas when we're teaching in person, it's like, as an instructor, sometimes I have 15 minutes after class and then I have to go to my next class. And it's like, okay, sorry guys, like we'll see you next week. And of course people can still call the office and get support, but not with that instructor that just taught them. And it was like, you know, this woman and I went back and forth and then I went, okay, I think she's good for the night. And I hope she's good for the night. Yeah. And start again tomorrow. So it was really great.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that ability to really dive into their lives and help them with all of the aspects of dog ownership, not just those specific things that we're teaching in the program. We get to support them in so many different ways. Yeah. That's fabulous.
It is.
And your communication skills are excellent, which makes you a shoe-in for this role.
Yes. Like, thank
you're so good at clearly identifying what people need to do and the steps to get there. Yeah. And you do that on, well, you kind of head instruct for online as well because we do live coaching calls.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yes. Yeah. And Meg does our evening live coaching calls.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So and Steve then, and I, it's a thing sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, everybody knows Instructor Steve from our YouTube channel. And Instructor Steve and Instructor Meg do the evening coaching calls and they have a blast on there.
I think ours might be a bit wilder than yours.
They might be.
I don't know, though.
It's evening, so there might be wine involved.
Yeah.
No, never. This Yeti always has fresh water, that is all.
Robbie and I are usually pretty, like, structured and on point. So.
Yes.
I can see you and Steve being a bit goofier.
Sometimes, yeah. Especially when we go to the hall and we work together. We just did that on Monday night and so that we could do a bunch of demoing for the, we were doing a lot of walking, talking. We're talking about walking.
Walking and talking, yeah.
And it's just so much more fun to do it at the hall because then we can do demos with my puppy or with his Border Collie Final. Mm. We brought the two dogs out, so it was cool.
Awesome. Nice to be in the same space.
Yeah.
And then finally, I know that we're really diving into your life and there's so much going on here. But tell us what you do for a living because this is a really interesting thing as well.
Yeah, so I am a chiropractor. I am a chiropractor both for humans and for animals. So I knew I needed to keep animals in my life, in my profession, no matter what, even if it wasn't just working with McCanns. So I actually became a chiropractor first, and then I did further education for another year afterwards to become an animal chiro. And that actually did become, that came about because of Fidget. I remember she did agility as a young dog. And she was knocking some bars. She was dropping bars sometimes. And it was like, okay, well, something's going on with this dog. And I took her to a fabulous animal chiropractor who's retired now. And she fixed her right up. It was
amazing.
So cool yeah. what she could do. Right. And I thought to myself, I don't know how I'm going to get there, mm-hmm. but I'm going to get there somehow. It's either I'm going to become a vet and become a chiro, or become a chiropractor and become an animal chiro. And that's the route I went with right. all yes. my human exercise mm. stuff that I do. So yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool.
What other
very,
animals? Very cool. What like cats, oh, horses?
Oh my gosh. It's so cool. Anything. So yeah. I'm actually on an animal chiro group I follow from the States as well. Mm-hmm. And we all try to support each other. And it's like, okay, well, there's this case. What would you do here? So it's vets and chiros all working together. Mm-hmm. It's really neat.
That's great.
And every so often, I love it, someone will post, I just did a llama, or a lot of farm animals.
Yeah. Or maybe zoo animals, I guess.
Zoo animals yeah. need it too. Mm-hmm. The cool one would be that you see more often would be like, bulls. I know a woman who like adjusts giant bulls.
Wow.
Bulls, cows, goats, you name it. I have never done that. I learned how to do horses, but horses are not my area of expertise. And okay. I think, let's not die today. So if you don't know what you're doing around a horse, they can damage you.
Right.
And I'm not super comfortable. I love horses, but I don't want to be in a stall by myself with one if mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that chewing or licking meaning they're happy or
right.
they're
yes.
not happy?
Yes. Right.
Whereas
right.
I can read dog body language like yes. that. Mm-hmm. So I work on safe. And keep myself safe. Mm-hmm. Touch wood, I've never been bit adjusting a dog.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Now, cats are another story. I work on cats and dogs, and sometimes a cat... I like, if you, they're fast, man.
Yeah.
And again, I haven't been bit, but it's like, you got to know what you're doing. Cause you hear that little,
right?
And yeah. you're like, oh, we hit the spot, but let's yeah. be careful here. Yes. So yeah. Anyway, that's what I stick goodness. To. But yeah, anything. It's super cool.
Yeah. yeah. Cool. I yes. bet.
Yeah.
I bet. Oh my goodness. That would be interesting to learn about
yeah.
like, mm-hmm. different anatomy and different techniques and whatnot and all the variations of creatures.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Stuff.
It's fun. It's a fun job. I really love it.
So from horses, let's go to little dogs.
Oh my gosh.
Because this is what you've done to yourself lately. So
yes.
you have traditionally had
border collies.
Regular sized dogs.
Yes, medium. I say medium.
Yeah. So you've yes. had border collies, you've had a husky cross, you've had, why don't you say that?
Yeah. So growing up, two mutts came off a farm. Lovely dogs. Couldn't say a bad thing about them. And they were fabulous, but they didn't have the same work ethic. Now, is that because of how they were bred, or is that because I didn't know as much and I didn't start them off as puppies?
And likely really both.
Likely a combination, yeah. for sure. And then, of course, I helped my husband train his two dogs. He brought both of them through the program. But then since I was 15, I've always had a border collie. Mm-hmm. And at one point I had three. Three is the max I've ever gone up to. Mm-hmm. So I Fidget, Swift, Sense, Highlight. Most people know Highlight if they follow the Puppy Essentials program because right. she was a little baby puppy during all that recording.
Like a little yes. red border collie.
Little red
yes.
border collie, a little red girl. And then now I have shifted. I'm not sure forever, but I've shifted. I have a little Papillon.
Yeah. And this was the inspiration that I thought, you know what? Let's bring Meg on the podcast
right?
so we
yeah.
can talk about yeah. this transition because so many people... Totally. Jump on the idea that a small dog needs to be trained differently than a large dog and differently than a medium dog and all of these differences that there are valid things in
yes.
there, but it's
I
not
agree.
A situation where we need to reinvent the wheel generally mm-hmm. because right. we've changed size of dogs. So yep. let's talk a little bit. What
and,
made you
and
decide?
And Chris is like that too. Like you've gone from Malinois
yeah. right?
is how
yes.
I met you. Giant
right.
dogs.
Yeah.
Well, not giant, but.
Compared to Swanee though.
yeah. And then I had the Saluki, which was a very tall dog, yeah. cowboy.
Yeah.
And
then the Corgis.
The Corgis were short, but hefty.
Yeah.
Like they were 30-pound dogs.
Oh
they
my
were,
gosh, they weighed almost as much as, like they yeah. weighed as much
well,
as
Well, actually they weighed, they were Cardigan Welsh Corgis, which are traditionally bigger than the Pembroke Welsh
okay.
Corgis. And I think Iggy weighed 32 and Gavin weighed 36. So
oh
they
gosh.
Were they were big dogs.
Yeah.
And they weren't overweight
Fair
by
enough.
Any means.
Yeah.
They were in good shape. But so they were big dogs, but short.
Yeah.
But then I went to my Chinese crested powder puff Honda. And
which
I also had my tiny Sheltie Atari, who was quite small.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Atari was very little.
Yes. Yeah. So you've gone that. You're the one who hasn't done small then.
No,
yet,
I stick to the same thing.
You
I
had
got my Rottweiler
for a bit.
Oh yes, I did have Squishies.
I forgot
was
about
a
Squishy.
I started out with the Rottweiler, and then I fell into Tollers, and I've never looked back.
Yeah.
So, I I like things consistent, apparently.
Yeah.
I will, the guesswork.
My next dog will likely be another border collie.
Okay. So that was what I was wondering. Mm-hmm. What made you decide that a Papillon was a good dog at this point?
Truthfully, it was a little bit of, Highlight and I had a hard year.
Yeah.
She had a lot of health problems. She had to stop competing for quite some time. For those of you who don't know, I mean, most people wouldn't know, she started having seizures and she has an autoimmune condition now. Now, to be like perfectly honest now, we've got it all figured out. My vet is fabulous. She was amazing. Just at the arena with me mm-hmm. in the last hour, training again, doing things a little more low key. But truthfully, I needed a break. I needed something different. I needed something to kind of take my mind off of her health issues.
Okay.
I also have two small children. Now, the Border Collies are fabulous with my kids. Like, truly, I could not ask for better dogs because they've learned how to be so wonderful with my kids. But I thought, you know what would be really fun one day is if Parker, my almost 7-year-old son, wanted to get into dog sports.
Yeah.
How cool would it be if I trained this Papillon up and then maybe when he's like 8, 9, I don't know, who knows what's going to happen timing-wise. Yeah. What if Parker said, hey, Mom, I want to handle a dog? And I could go, let's try this one.
Right.
Like, how much fun would that be? Perfect size, we share him.
Mm-hmm. And seriously, how cute would the two of them be together? Yes. Like, yes. Honestly.
I would probably just sit there with a video camera sobbing. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Meg never gets anything done again because all she does is just watch these kids.
Watching them.
Gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, it was kind of a mixture of like, and also I think when you try something new as a dog trainer, it's going to make you a better dog trainer.
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
How can I coach people? That's not why I got another dog, but mm-hmm. like it has been a huge benefit. How can I coach people and help people with their little dogs or with their dogs that aren't highly motivated like a border collie?
Yes.
If I've never done it myself.
Absolutely.
Now, I've done it in class. I've watched it in mm-hmm. class. I've mm-hmm. supported people. I've researched. I've done as much
and,
as I can.
And you've watched other instructors too with small dogs.
And we've brainstormed right. or gone back and forth mm-hmm. together. But I do think there's a difference when they live in your home.
Yeah. When like, you are living with them 24/7, raising mm-hmm. them. Yeah, absolutely. You notice a lot
yes.
of things.
Like, for example, Prez, when he came home, he was born in October. He came home just before Christmas. I remember him wanting to go out to go to the bathroom. And I remember people saying, my puppy doesn't want to go to the bathroom in the cold. And I was like, shove him out there. They're fine. Like a border collie's like,
tough enough. Right, come on, right?
And I put a coat on him to like go pee. Yeah, uh-huh. And then he did. He never, he was a fabulous puppy to house train. I was actually very lucky. But as like a 9-week-old puppy, I threw a little fleecy thing over his back. And then he marched out there like, oh, okay, I'm much better now.
How funny, eh? Right. Like different experiences.
Yes.
I remember I was watching one of our instructors' little Staffy Bowl puppy cross. Girly pop, I call her. And she was tiny. She was like 9 weeks old. They had gone off to Mexico or some warm climate mm-hmm. and it was the middle of winter. And I remember taking her out in the yard and putting her down to go pee. And she literally just curled up on my foot, shaking. And she had a sweater on and everything. And I was like, this is so, like, tollers are so cold tolerant, right? You throw them out in the middle of a snowstorm at 9 weeks of age and they're like, cool, let me eat it all. Like,
let me roll in it. Let's play
exactly.
in it.
Yes. Exactly. So I was like, what's wrong with this puppy? She's like terrified of the snow. Yeah. It's a very different experience.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think having the border collies and having all the other dogs helped me because it was like, if he had been my first dog, I might have thought it's too cold for him to pee outside then.
Right.
I'm just going to get a pee pad.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do this. And I thought to myself, I'm not going there. I'm not going to have these things in my house. Yes. I'm not completely altering the way I train dogs just because you are little.
Yes.
And he still has a coat, for goodness sakes. Yep. Just maybe not a double coat. And I went, no, buddy, you're going outside. Mm-hmm. And if he didn't go to the bathroom, I put him back in his crate mm-hmm. and then tried again 10 minutes later. And I will tell you, he's actually been my first dog in my life. I think I could say he's had less than 5 accidents in the house ever. I think
Fantastic.
He's maybe peed in the house twice in his life. Uh-huh. But I've learned a lot and he was perfect. He figured it out. But we just kept trying. And then it was like, no, you're doing this.
A lot of our students will say that with their little tiny weenie fluffy puppy, they can't see if the dog's peeing or not. Did you find that as well?
I don't think I did because he before he lifted his leg, now he lifts his leg. He does a little like forward lean.
Okay, so he recognizes body language.
Yeah, so yes. he'd lean forward, uh-huh. and I was like, oh, good, he's peeing. And then, yay, right. good boy, big party. Yes. And then I'd be like, okay, let's run back inside then. Mm-hmm. And he started to learn, the faster I pee, the faster this lady goes, let's be back
right,
inside.
Right, yeah, to the warm, yes.
To but if I delay this, yes. she just keeps me out here for another 2 minutes. So, yeah, I do think having the bigger dogs or medium-sized dogs, it was like, this is what dogs do. Mm-hmm. So then... this is what my little dog does.
Yeah. And I think the perception with little dogs is often that they're so delicate and we have to be so careful and they're so fragile, which isn't yeah. untrue. Of course,
nope,
they're
it's
smaller,
not. Mm-hmm.
but they're still dogs.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, if you peel back those layers, like you're not going to find a wolf in there, but you're still going to find a dog.
Yeah.
They're yeah. still governed by right. the same rules.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Even like for sure, there are different things. I could go on and on, but like one of the things, he didn't do stairs in my house for many, 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 many weeks, probably months.
Okay.
Because I was concerned about his little body and him yeah. hurting himself. Mm-hmm. So eventually he started doing like the two stairs in this one area of my house, but he is still to this day, I've never really allowed him to go all the way up the big flight of stairs.
Okay. And how old is he now?
He's 6 months.
Okay.
That's more because it's easier to
still
manage him now.
Right.
Yeah. I'm yes. like, if you don't know, you can go up those stairs.
Right.
Why,
yeah.
why would I encourage that?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
when he's on the main level, we're on the main level.
Yeah. yeah.
And I can supervise him more easily. Mm-hmm. But our stairs that are three, yes, he absolutely goes, he flies up and down those now. But when he was like 2, 3, 4 months of age, mm-hmm. he didn't do stairs.
I would imagine it would look like a wall from yeah. the perspective of a young papillon right. as well.
Yes.
So it wouldn't yeah. be very encouraging to do.
Yeah. And the stairs, you figure, are the same height
it's
as him.
Yeah.
So it's like an adult dog going up, you
that's
know,
how
what,
I
3 foot
of it.
Stairs.
I
yeah.
was like,
yeah.
I wouldn't yeah. let a border collie puppy at 12 weeks jump off the couch because they could yeah. potentially hurt themselves. So why am I letting this puppy go jump off a stair? And
right.
then if he doesn't have the right control, what if he missed and then when it ended up going down 2 stairs.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was a little careful about those sorts of things. I lifted him on and off everything.
Gotcha. Yes. How tall is he at the shoulders
ooh,
right now?
I would say maybe about 10 and a half inches.
Okay. Alrighty. So
he's
not
still pretty
like
itty bitty.
Teeny weeny dog, but he's
no,
pretty itty bitty still.
He's still pretty little.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I think we're done growing too. That's as big as he's getting.
Yeah. What does he weigh?
It's a great question. Yeah. He hasn't been to the vet since his 6 month, like his, sorry, his, rabies vaccine, I guess around
four months. Yeah.
He's 6 now. We mm-hmm. haven't had any reason to. I would guess he's around maybe 8 pounds, seven or
oh,
8 pounds.
Okay. Yes. That's quite tiny. Yeah.
Yeah. He's yeah. little. He's less than 10 it pounds is. For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely not a lot of heft. So are there other, other spaces that you've sort of noticed that, that perception of the small dog being impactful for you with whether with interactions with other people or just in your own life?
Yeah, I would say actually Prez is about to have a rude awakening. I've let him be a little bit more bold.
Okay.
I've wanted him to not be the little dog that's scared of everything.
Right.
So
when you say you've let him be a little bit more bold, tell
yeah,
us what you mean by that.
I've let him be a little bit saucier. I let
okay.
him jump on people a little bit more.
Okay.
I let him go up to people. I don't have make him have as many rules. My border collies have had more structure because I don't want them to be overly excited and wild.
Right.
Whereas with him, I was like, you know what? I want you to be a little bit wilder.
Gotcha.
I want you to be a bit bolder. When I was recently at an agility, big agility competition, I was very strategic about who I let him visit, but there was a couple of border collie papillon puppies.
Okay.
And there were some small Shelties and I let him play with them all.
Well, it's really interesting. I overheard you talking the other day about how you thought he'd become conditioned to
yes.
see other small dogs and right away go into wanting to play with them mode versus
yeah.
he sees lots of big dogs and he doesn't even notice them.
No.
So I thought that would be a good thing to talk
yeah.
about because it kind of puts in perspective what we do with our dogs often that shoots ourselves in the foot when we let them see other dogs and then rush right up and say hello. So tell
yes.
us about this experience.
And I will say, I don't let him like drag me on leash. I still have certain rules. I don't want that to happen.
All 8 pounds of his head.
All 8 pounds of him just dragging me down the street. So he still has those rules of like, you must walk nicely on leash. You must sit until you're given permission. He always gets told, okay, go play. It's still structured, but I would say I let him do that more with those little dogs so that he just gets a little, he just is a little bit more silly and a
yeah.
little bit more
yeah.
wild.
And you've noticed that reinforcement has created his desire to want to go and
see the little dogs. Yes, so now if I'm walking down the street and he sees a little dog across the street, he looks at me and he starts crying and sometimes barking like, that looks like so much fun. Yes. But ultimately, and my sister-in-law was walking with me the other day and she said something and I was like, oh man. And she was like, this is why I don't like little dogs, Meg, because they bark and they're wild and people let them do whatever they want. And I was like, no, I've let him do whatever he wants a little bit. And now I will say, being a dog trainer, I can recognize when things have kind of gone too far in one direction.
Yes.
He's not afraid of anything. Loves kids, loves people, loves men, loves women, loves other dogs. This has been like, he's gone in so many places with me. It's unbelievable. But now it's like, okay, he's been socialized. He's not afraid of anything. So now we need to we've gone too far with this direction. Now we need more control.
Gotcha.
And that's where I am right now. You need to learn now, you don't get to visit every dog you see. Yeah. You don't get to visit every person you see. You are very comfortable with the world. So now we need to bring that focus far more onto me.
Yeah. So what is your plan to facilitate that?
Well, for starters, he just graduated Life Skills 1.
Yay, congratulations. He was the class pres.
And he did very well. But even on my report card, in a way, I was a little mortified. I've never had a dog graduate from McCann's without getting all excellence.
Right. Oh, he got almost all excellence.
I got my first good.
On what exercise?
On random walking. Because he was like, wow, this is so exciting. All these dogs around me. And I had to work my butt off.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's funny because you kept saying things like, I'm exhausted. And I was like, oh my gosh, Meg's so busy all the time and so fit all the time. If she's exhausted, there's no help for the rest of us. Oh my gosh.
But that was a little my fault that I've let him be a little sillier. But yeah, so my plan is, of course, he's already registered for Life Skills too. And I bought a Gentileader this week.
Okay.
I did.
It must be a very tiny Gentileader.
Yeah. So cute. Yes, just had to put it in a frame. It's so cute. But it's not just about other dogs. He is very stimulated by animals.
Okay.
And my border collies don't usually care about that.
Right.
Yeah. He sees a rabbit in the yard and his mind explodes. If we're walking down the street and he sees a squirrel or even a robin on the grass, he's very stimulated by those things.
And it's funny because they're the same size as him.
Yeah. He thinks the squirrel is his friend.
Right. Yeah. He's like, look at that dog. That's a weird one.
Yeah. You know what? I am not prepared to obviously just correct him for making these poor choices.
Of course, yeah.
So we've tried to make the walking very short and sweet, and I integrate games into it, and we do his other training things. But even in spite of that, there's times where his tummy is so small that he can only eat so many treats.
Right. Oh, I bet.
And it's like, you know what? Sometimes I just want to get a little further on my walk and he's too stimulated. So I got a Gentileader this week and he's worn it once outside. And man, was I happy I did that because he walked down the street a little more subdued. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's always going to be like that. Mm-hmm. As you guys know, you get a Gentileader on a dog and sometimes they're like, wah, wah.
Yes.
And then that's obviously my responsibility to make that such a positive thing for him. So I know his personality will still be bubbly and come right back, but I do think he's going to be a little less over the top and make it easier for me to say, no, there's a squirrel there. We're leaving. We're going this way.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously the Gentileader is not for the physical power of the dog, which a lot of the times we talk about using Gentileaders on very powerful dogs.
Totally.
So in this scenario, you're using the Gentileader a little bit differently from that. Tell us what your goal is.
Why more focus.
So just to calm his little brain a little bit more.
Calm his brain, make it easier to redirect him.
Yep.
And also, he has a tiny little neck. A tiny, tiny little neck. And a lot of concerns that people have with small dogs is that they don't want to put a collar on them. They want a harness on them.
Yeah.
So...
Well, and why didn't you go to a harness then? That's a great question. And I'm sure lots of people are thinking, you know what? Why isn't she using a harness with this tiny little neck then?
Well, because if I walk him down the street on a harness and he goes to pull, as he pulls one direction, he is getting more feedback to keep pulling because of that pressure he feels on the harness. So it's actually, I have put a harness on him before. You know what he looks like? He looks like a husky. Mushing down the street towards the squirrel going, yay, mom, hold me back. And it actually charges him up more. Mm-hmm. He is then growling and legit digging into the sidewalk, being like, yeehaw. He's so excited.
Oh, yes.
So harnesses would completely backfire that. Mm-hmm. It would be a terrible idea. So instead, how do I break down that walk? How do I work with him in lower distraction environments? So for now, he wears the collar at times where he's not going to get to rehearse pulling because he's not over the top excited.
Yeah.
Because I don't want him to hurt his little trachea. I don't want him to hurt his neck. So we work in lower distraction environments on the collar where he is very good. And you saw him in grade one. It's like for the majority of the time, he's prancing along and he's walking beautifully. But at times where I want to walk him in the park or walk him down the street, and there's way more people out now that it's spring here. That was almost a song.
That was a little bit of singing. There was a bit of singing there. Yes.
Then I have
spring is here.
Then I have the Genaleader. So yeah, and it's so funny because years ago I thought of it as a Genaleader. People put them on when they weren't good dog trainers.
Oh,
I did.
You know, it's funny how you evolve in your learning.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was like, oh no, if I put a Genaleader on, that means I'm not a good dog trainer. I need to rely on a Genaleader to control my dog. That's what I thought as a teenager. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm a good dog trainer. I can work through this.
Yeah. So your perspective now, how would you describe your perspective now on the Genaleader?
I think that it's not a forever thing for me, but it's a management tool that is going to decrease both of our frustration and connect us faster and more easily. So why would I not do that?
Right. I love the way you put that. That was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Use the tools that are going to help.
Yeah.
So many people with small breeds default to a harness right away.
Yeah.
And I don't know why people don't want to try the Genaleader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I walk down the street, I bet most small dogs are on harnesses. And,
yes, you know, and
they're
pulling.
They're pulling, they're being naughty. Yes, yeah. Why?
And a bike goes by and they lunge out.
Right.
I will say, so I hike with my dogs a lot, like every day almost. My border collies and I hike somewhere. It's just our favorite thing to do.
Yeah, I'm with you. Me too.
And the worst trained dogs I see on the trails are little dogs.
I bet.
Yes. And I now am prepared.
Yeah.
And so I move right off to the side. If as they're coming along, they're already growling and lunging, literally Senny looks at me like, not another one, Mom, my 11-year-old border collie. Yeah. And he comes to the side and he's just like, we're going to wait till this one passes. Because they could, if not under good control, most of them are on flexies too.
Yep.
Yeah. They're going to lunge out and bite at my border collie.
Right.
Yep. So yeah, and I will not have a dog like that.
No,
it's just not happening.
Definitely.
So Prez is in puppy boot camp right now little bit.
Right. Well, and sometimes that happens around this age anyway.
Yes.
So like,
he's definitely in his adolescence.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's a little 16-year-old boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
who thinks he's already a big man?
He does.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't even tell you how many times this morning he like lifted his leg and I swear to God, he looked at me like, yeah, I'm doing this now. Like, oh my God.
Look how mature I am.
Look at me pee at all your plants.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that like what you were just describing, I think that is very much part of the perception that like little dogs, oh, they're so little. If they're being bad, I can just pick them up.
Pick them up and you put them in air jail.
Air jail.
Air jail.
Air jail.
Oh my God, I never thought of that.
It is. It's air jail.
Yeah, it's definitely easy to do that, but it makes life with your dog not as enjoyable.
No.
And, you know.
And I'll tell you right now, my husband who likes big dogs, when I said I wanted a Papillon, he was like, oh my God, Meg, are you joking? But we have this unspoken rule that he doesn't get to pick dogs anymore because I do all the dog training.
Right.
So
right. You just love the unspoken rules in relationships.
I thought I also had control on what we named them, but he educated me that I don't get all the control. He was like, I need to at least agree to the name. But anyway, if this dog was obnoxious and pulling and barking, zero chance my husband would walk that dog down the street.
Gotcha.
He would
so
be like,
how are they getting along now? Your husband and the Prez.
Oh, he loves him.
Yes, good. Yeah.
I was just hoping an embarrassing, horrible story. I wasn't home. I work late 2 evenings a week, and he's very good at managing our 2 children. So our kids are just turned 3 and almost 7, and they're busy. Mm-hmm. And 2 border collies in the house, and then Prez. And my sister-in-law told me she came over the one day, and he was cooking dinner. So there he is on the stove. Like stirring with a Papillon in his arms because he had to manage dinner. So instead of letting the puppy run around, this was a couple months ago, and just be free to do whatever he wanted with the kids, he knew enough, picked the pap up. So she said, I walked into your kitchen, Meg, and there was your massive, like he's a big guy, stirring dinner with a Papillon in his arms. And she was like, I had to take a picture because I thought, this is a vision of my brother I never thought I would see.
She wasn't worried. He was just about to put the Papillon in the pot.
In the pot. Yeah. No. And you know what, though?
Sad this to dinner.
What I think is cool about Prez, and I think people don't realize this about little dogs, he's hardy.
Yeah.
Like your little dogs don't need to be this like little wallflower.
Yeah.
He tugs. He growls. He retrieves things. Mm-hmm. He hikes now. I do let him start going hiking with my bigger dogs. Now he's learning some of the skills. And when I first got him, I'll never forget, he saw a puddle and he didn't know what to do. He wouldn't walk through it. I had to pick him up when he was like a baby puppy. Yeah. I had to pick him up. And then now I'm like, I don't even think about it. He just like runs through those puddles. He runs through the mud. But it is annoying, having a little dog, because he has to get, I don't bathe him all the time, but he has to get like rinsed and cleaned because when they're that little, all the mud is all over his whole body.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, they get all that grit on their stomachs.
Yeah.
And
Whereas it's not the same with a big dog. So anyway.
I was talking about last podcast, I was talking about the hillbilly dog baths that I've resorted to recently
because of course
Ned is constantly filthy because my property is quite wet and we're out there all the time. So he's constantly like going back out, getting remuddied, coming back in the house, and then we have to do all our thing to try to clean him off so it doesn't end up all over my house. And I've resorted to hillbilly dog baths now. So basically I have a little overflow pond that I send him into and I tell him to spin and lie down.
Okay.
And he basically agitates all the mud off of himself and then
absolutely.
We go in the house and we tie. Add a box of Tide to that.
I thought you were going to say you just like get a hose out. Like I would do that.
No, no, that's way too much work.
Okay. Wait,
honestly, because I have to do it three or four times a day. It has to be efficient.
Yeah.
When that pond dries up, I'm going to be in trouble. But hopefully that means the muck is gone too.
So absolutely.
Aren't you finding though how convenient it is? You have this tiny crate.
I love it.
Tiny dog. They take up no room.
I love it.
They eat so much less.
Yes.
Like, and which is a challenge, though, I will say.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. It's nice for the bills, but you're right.
Yeah, it makes training harder because it's like, okay, he has this many treats or like kibble or whatever that he can eat. What do I really want to train today?
Yeah.
So I actually think it makes you more mindful. But yes, it's so nice having
like,
a little dog.
When you take them places, it's a breeze. You're not falling in with all this big equipment.
No.
Yes.
At all. And I also find that people don't mind when you bring them places.
Yeah. No.
I've taken him places that I'm like, I would never take a border collie here. Uh-huh. I can't tell you how many times he's been to Sport Check with me. Right. Yeah, I have a girlfriend who works at Sport Check.
I didn't even know you could take dogs in Sport Check.
You can. They're dog friendly.
Amazing.
Yes. Especially when you can.
I'm not sure it's advertised, but all of the staff love it.
Now everybody knows.
Yeah.
Everyone. Especially when you can pick a dog up too.
Sorry, Sport Check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just pick them up under your arm, in you go. And yep.
Oh, it's so convenient.
Yes. That is convenient.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's awesome. I do like the size thing. And honestly, my goal with him is to eventually do agility with him as well.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So have you started foundation work for agility already?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I figured as much.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, if you know enough about agility, you're not waiting until they have all of the skills. Like most of our students, they wait until they've graduated from like Life Skills 3, I guess. Mm-hmm. As someone who's been in the dog world for long enough, there's lots of little things I do at home with him.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying that. It's super fun.
Yeah. And you'll compete with him one day. And
I hope so. That is the goal. That is the goal. So,
so much fun.
Oh, another big question we get from our students is, how is your back? When they have small dogs, people always want to know, my back is so sore.
And as a chiropractor, I know you know how important good back health is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say when he was a puppy, I did most of my training on the ground. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, It's interesting.
Yourself on the ground with him. Yes.
A lot of elderly people think I should get a little dog, but like a little dog actually isn't easy for someone who has mobility issues. Mm-hmm. Because I would say for the first 4 months of me owning him, I did a lot of his training on the ground, doing things with him that way. I would say walking is the one that I noticed the biggest difference in
terms
of training.
Have you resorted to any props on walking?
Yeah.
So what kind of props?
Well, my props are different than maybe what you're thinking. I know some people will use like a lot of like, they'll put like peanut butter or something on like a little spoon that they can like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you don't have to bend quite as much.
Yeah, I actually don't mind bending that much. But what I found hard, he was nervous about me stepping on him when he was really little.
Okay.
And I found that he didn't want to get right close to my left-hand side.
Yeah, I bet.
He wanted to walk a bit further away. He wanted to be at a bit of a distance from me, and I didn't love that.
That would just be instinct for safety.
Yes.
So.
Right?
Yes. Yes. And even if I'm running with him in the yard, trying to get him to come to my side, he used to always want to be like a little further away.
Gotcha.
And then I realized one time I was training him in the winter and snow kept kicking back with my boot, and I looked back and it was hitting him in the face.
Oh.
And he was like, he didn't want to run with me outside for a while. He only wanted to run with me in the arena or in the hall. Uh-huh. And I'm like, of course, I'm literally hitting you in the face with like fluids.
That's so aversive. I don't enjoy enjoy the cold sweat.
Didn't like it. So the prop that I actually used a lot, funny enough, was just teaching control position and how to get in at my side. And I'm sure you guys have both used these. I use those little fit pods.
Yeah, like as a little perch.
Right? Yeah, so I would get him. He learned how to put his front feet on them and would learn how to pivot his body around me as I turned. And then I used to actually put perches along different areas in my hallway or in my dog room. So it would be like you'd go up on a perch and then we'd just walk a little distance and then he'd walk to the next perch and then we would go back and forth that way. So it really helped him learn, come straight into my side. And so I could put the perches, these little pods, I have four of them. I could put them in a line, I could put them in a diamond, and sometimes I would just mix it up. And it really helped him to learn to come right into my side.
And build that confidence to be that close to
you. So now if he sees a perch, oh my gosh. Like if one just happens to be on my floor in my dog room, he's had so much reinforcement for putting his front paws on that I'll come into the dog room and he's already standing on it like, hi mom, I'm on my thing. And I'm like, you're such a good boy.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Dogs do what's rewarding. Yes, so if you make these things rewarding, they want to do these things. But I imagine that a lot of people, it seems counterintuitive for them because a lot of people would probably, when their dogs are moving away from them, they reach out. They try to lean over the dog more. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's going to push the dog further away. Because you're putting pressure on the dog. So that's a great troubleshooting method to help build that confidence.
Really helped us for sure.
I find little dogs too, well, sometimes because of their size, if they're trying to look up to us, sometimes they do move out away. So they want to see our faces. So they start moving out away to give themselves a better vantage.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Certainly would be easier to look up and see.
Yeah.
So in terms of technique, what other places have you really noticed a difference being a little dog?
Placing a dog in a sit when their pelvis is this big is very different.
Okay, that's interesting. So tell me a little bit.
I do my sit placements, I don't want to say like, probably like more carefully.
Okay.
And I wanted to teach this puppy that if you feel any pressure, don't fight it. Because I'm not having a fight with a 6-pound dog.
Yeah, for sure.
So I did a lot when he was a puppy of like, gently touching his bum with food on his nose, which is something we teach all of our students or gently putting the tiniest bit of pressure with two fingers on his shoulder blades and luring him into a stand. I did so much of that because I have zero desire to use more force with this dog because he's so little.
He doesn't need it.
Yes, exactly. And obviously, like I don't like using a lot of force with any of my dogs, but especially him. It's like literally his pelvis is this wide. Yeah. Oh. So I would say I did more of that than I've done with my dogs previously because I want him to know if you feel any pressure from me, just go with it.
Yeah.
Don't fight that pressure. It's always going to be good for you. And then good things happen when you allow me to put you on my side or when you allow me to pick you up. I didn't want him to fight being picked up from a safety perspective. Right. I do think there is something to be said about protecting your small dog if something comes at you.
Oh, I could not agree more. I would not hesitate if something was coming at my small dog to pick them right up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I would say like, I don't know the last time I picked up one of my border collies. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. But like for him, he gets picked up many, many times a day. He can't jump into the back of my van. He can't, I live on the escarpment edge. And so I do the escarpment stairs down and sometimes run my dogs there. I'm not letting him walk down all those escarpment stairs.
Of course.
So he not only has to be comfortable getting picked up, but he has to be comfortable continuing to stay in my arms while I walk down an escarpment or walk up an escarpment with him in my arms. Thank God he's not a 32-pound corgi. Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I've practiced more picking him up and more holding than I've ever done with another dog. So now I can hold him and he looks like a little bird and he's just like, okay, I'll just hang out with my mom here.
Right. So I'm curious if you're content with that or if you're going to gravitate to what a lot of people seem to gravitate to with little dogs, which is some sort of a bag or a purse or a backpack or a...
It's so funny. My sister-in-law bought me one for Christmas.
A backpack or
like a little satchel, like a side bag.
Yeah. I'm so intrigued.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't wear that. I cannot. Or I've seen little dogs with strollers.
Right.
I will say this. I think he is hardy enough to do all of the things that my big dogs do. But if there comes a time where it's like, we do a ton of camping as a family.
Right.
If there comes a time where it's like, he cannot do it, then I would consider so that he could still come along, maybe having something I can carry him in. But honestly, at this point, I have two small children, so we don't do a lot of like 4-hour hikes. It's usually like a little bit at a time when we take breaks.
Right.
My goal is that he can do all of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Truly. Yeah. My goal is that I don't want to put them in a bag.
Yeah. And I like that goal. Yes. I really think, well, there may be a place for a bag at some point.
Yes.
I think that dogs want to be dogs.
Right.
And yep. we should give them he the opportunity.
He doesn't want to be in my arms.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants to go.
Yeah. And you've done a great job building his confidence. So he's like, yeah, life is great. Let's do this. Rah, rah. So
yeah.
Perfect.
Well, I've noticed like with Honda being small, now he's elderly now, but he could always stay up with us on walks.
Yeah.
Always. And I found him to be just so athletic. He would, you know, he could jump on the rocks and run across logs. And
yes.
Just very, very athletic.
And there are more athletic small breeds though. Let's be clear. Like, I didn't get a pug because it would die in my house from trying to go on a hike. I mean, there are certain small breeds, the brachiocephalic dogs, like, mm-hmm. they cannot actually do things physically that some other breeds can. Prez has a nice long nose. He can breathe just fine. There are also some small breeds that I think are a little bit more delicate. Like,
yes.
I'm not convinced all, like, teacup Yorkies or, like, Chihuahuas could do what I ask Prez to do.
Yeah.
And, but I would say he's a hardier small dog so far.
Yeah.
I was going to get a Sheltie, eh?
Were you? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was contacting Sheltie breeders because I think the tiny little Shelties
are adorable.
Are like,
yes.
I wanted to say something, but it's a swear word. It's like bad something, you know?
Oh, I know. Yes. Yes. But you know what? You've avoided a lot of dog hair though by not having a Sheltie.
Yes.
That's one thing I could not believe is how much undercoat my Sheltie Atari had.
Yeah, fair enough. Yes. Prez barely sheds.
You have
the single coat.
Hair.
The so single coat nicer. Is kind of lovely.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So what was the ultimate deciding factor then? What made you go with a Papillon over a Sheltie?
It's ridiculous.
Oh, just the cuteness?
No, I had a Sheltie litter lined up, but I was convinced that for agility, a male Sheltie might have been too big. I really wanted a small dog.
Right.
So I turned down a male. That is now in Canada, and he's freaking tiny.
He would have been
perfect. You know, everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
I truly believe that.
Yep. So,
and so then I, a very well-known U.S. agility competitor, literally put up a photo of holding all four Papillon puppies and was like, look what I have. And they were in Pennsylvania, and I was like, I want one.
Yeah, yes. That was it.
And we have had some killer Papillons in Canada that have done so well for our Canadian agility teams. There's a couple that I can think of right now off the top of my head where I'm like, when you watch them and they are barking and their little legs are just flying, they look like little Tasmanian devils just flying around a course. I thought I could do a lot maybe with this dog.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went for it.
It's a great choice.
I've never impulsively gotten a dog though, like I have Prez. Uh-huh. Usually it's like, you know, you contact the breeder.
So much planning.
Sometimes you're waiting for years for that perfect matchup of dogs.
Literally, that's where I'm at right now. I've been waiting for 2 years and now finally in 3 weeks.
And
3 weeks my puppy comes.
And I don't get a lot of dogs. Like literally, like Sense is 11, Highlight is 4, Prez is just a babe. Yeah. So usually it's like I have a plan for multiple years where my next dog might come from. And I had even contacted another border collie breeder in Texas and I had it all lined up that I was getting a puppy next summer from her. And then Prez showed up and I was like, yeah, I think I need this little piece of joy in my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Well, I think it was a good decision.
Oh, yeah.
He's a keeper. He's quite the little guy.
But it was
guy.
A little impulsive. Yeah. I saw the picture and I was like, yeah. No, the breeding was still very well. It was the breeder's a vet and she's a very well-known U.S. competitor. So it wasn't just like off of a puppy mill.
Right. Yes.
But it wasn't planned.
Yeah.
And I just drove down to Pennsylvania by myself. I listened to some lovely podcasts along the way.
Nice.
And I came back with a puppy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That sounds like the perfect outing.
Yeah.
Did you have trouble finding a tiny puppy. Collar for him as a puppy?
Yes.
Yes.
It was almost like a cat collar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah,
I remember when I brought Honda home, I remember thinking, I can't find something to fit this little dog.
Yeah. Aww, yeah. And funny enough, actually, I didn't have a leather leash that was small enough for him. Mm-hmm. So I showed up to my first life skills class with like a little nylon leash. And instructor Steve was like, what are you doing? You don't even have a leather. And so he walked over like all like, oh man, this is ridiculous.
You definitely needed a quarter inch.
And he went over and stole one off the wall for me and brought it back. But now actually Prez has gotten hardy enough. I think it's a 3/8 that I train him on a leather leash. I just love leather leashes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like leather is so much nicer.
Butter in your hands.
Yeah. I have a couple of quarter inch leashes from the days of old.
Yes.
I will hold them dearly forever. So.
Yeah. I never thought of that because I've never had a dog small enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, now I finally graduating up, he has a little bit of a thicker collar. Uh-huh. I probably did that, I don't know, 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Because, like, I don't want that distribution of weight being on that tiny, tiny little collar. Right, so yeah. I did think he was ready to move up.
Something a little wider.
Yeah.
Now, what a question our students ask often is when they, if the puppy's going to nip them and they, you know, the puppy's kind of wild and they go to take the collar of the small puppy, is it a lot more difficult? People are often mentioned they find it harder.
I don't think so, but I think it happens. I think it has to do with how confidently you go in to mm-hmm. take the collar. I do think that a lot of people with small dogs are afraid of hurting them.
Yes.
And they'll let out that little eek, or like as you go to take the collar.
Right, that's, yeah, one thing to mention. Mm-hmm. Little dogs do like to squeak, don't they?
They squeak. That was a good impression, didn't you think?
Yes, it was. It was. Yes. Yes.
So I do think that when you go in on a small dog, I don't think I ever just reached and grabbed his collar. It was almost always like running my hand down the line, taking control. Mm-hmm. And because we had rehearsed that so many times, taking the collar and being fed, he generally went, oh, I'm not allowed to bite the dish towel or I'm not allowed to chase the three-year-old. But I would say I did more of like a nice body hold. Mm-hmm. Like if he got a little silly, I didn't want him like thrashing around as I held his collar.
Right.
Yeah. So I would hold his collar and I would just bring him in close and I would wait for him to settle. Mm-hmm. And very quickly he went, oh, okay, this is not happening right now.
It's air jail.
Air jail.
Yeah.
You need to be able to like get your hand in there, but like maybe as like a large man, I wonder if it would be hard to get your hand into a small puppy collar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably would be.
But I just got in there with usually like two fingers. That was probably it. Yes. I'm not getting all four fingers in there like you could with a bigger dog.
Right.
So actually that is different.
Right. Yeah.
Four fingers would not fit into puppy collar. It was like two maybe. And as I'm just moving behind his head until he settled.
Yeah, I can imagine it would be a little bit more difficult to get to that collar and get surface area. But the more you've practiced it and conditioned it, the easier that's going to be.
Especially people with a very fuzzy puppy too. If you had like a doodle had a lot of coat on its neck.
Or
a Sheltie with a lot of coat on its neck. Although they don't as puppies generally.
No.
Yeah.
But again, I do think that's where like practicing the handling comes in.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the
one thing about handling I'll mention too, when I worked at the vet clinic, we always found tiny breeds much harder to hold for little procedures than a big dog.
Yeah.
A big dog, you can just get in there and hold them, but a little dog, they feel so small and under your hands and they wiggle and they squeak.
Yeah.
So handling with a little dog is very important.
Yeah.
Very important.
And I will admit, I actually had Instructor Nancy came over to my house once I was treating her dogs. And I said to her, I'm really struggling with how little he is to hold his collar, keep him calm and clip nails. Mm-hmm. So would you mind partnering with me and helping me with this?
Yeah.
And of course she was totally game. So I literally held him and fed him and she went clip, 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 clip and got them all done.
Perfect.
And so I only
I'm inviting Nancy to my house.
Oh my gosh. She was so helpful. Honestly, it saved my butt. I was so grateful. Not that my husband couldn't, but just Nancy has so much more experience clipping than my husband does.
Yes.
Yeah. So I went for someone who knew what they were doing a little bit more. But yeah, I will say I've never done that with a border collie puppy because he was a little bit more of a squirmer. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make it a positive experience and not fight him at all. Yeah. So I just fed and held and she clipped and he was like, oh, it's over. And it was a non-issue.
And he probably has fuzzy feet. So it takes time to peel back the hair and isolate the toenail and all those things would take patience, which a young baby puppy doesn't necessarily have yet.
Yeah. And I'm happy to like train that on my own as a separate exercise. But there are times when they're little where it's like, I just got to get this done.
Yeah.
I got to get the nails clipped and I don't have 3 weeks to work through you accepting lying on your side, letting me touch a toe. Yeah. Like, you know, you need to get your nails clipped now because you're not getting good traction on my floors.
Right.
So
that's where a friend comes in. Scratch your children too if he jumps.
Yeah. Yes. So that's where Nancy came in, which was really nice.
Yeah. So good. And I mean, that's a helpful thing for any puppy as well. So like, don't hesitate if you're working through nail trimming stuff and building comfort, don't hesitate to get somebody else to give you a hand so that you can get everything done that needs to be done and they're not growing super long. I think that's a great tip.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to talk a little bit about timing because of course we all know timing is so crucial in dog training. Using the right timing and quick reinforcement and quick feedback for the dog is so crucial for their learning because of that sort of 1 second immediate time frame that we have to work with. So how did you find that in terms of training a small dog?
I don't think it was any different.
Did you find though that you were having trouble getting to that good timing point or like just having to move further down, et cetera?
Truthfully, no.
No? Good.
Honestly, I don't know if you're looking for me to say yes.
No, I'm looking for an honest opinion.
Yeah. I will say this too. Like I move fast generally.
Yeah.
And I generally, most of the time I need to remember to move slower. So I would say no, I don't think the timing was any different.
Perfect.
No.
So nothing that you noticed in terms of any of the exercises that you taught either? Everything just kind of came together nicely?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say like if I ever do like a little pulse for anything to like get his attention, that is far less. It's like literally a jiggle on his collar and he turns around and looks.
And have you conditioned that as well though? Is that just because it's,
perfect. Oh yeah, literally like little touch on the leash and feed. Yeah. Touch on the leash and feed. And now it's like I touch the leash at all and he's flying back to me.
Perfect.
So
again,
because it's just, he's little. We don't need to do that much.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's different for sure. But like timing, I feel like timing and dog training is the same regardless of the dog you have.
Yeah. But you didn't, I just meant like the struggles with it, like getting to it. Yeah.
No,
but
no, I don't think
you're very fit and you move very fast.
I move fast.
Yeah. Like lightning.
But I do think like to have a little dog that's again, like, as I said already, I think you need to be able to move.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Absolutely. And I mean, if you're thinking about having a little dog because it's less weight to have to deal with.
Totally.
Then that may be a benefit in some respects. But as you're saying, it's hard to it's hard to physically get down to the dog, et cetera. So that needs to be something that your mobility is great as well.
Yeah. Yes. And like little dogs move fast.
They do.
Yeah.
And they get under your feet and trip you.
It's a little terrifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One time I lost him.
Oh no.
Like in my, like, well, like for seconds I'm talking, I literally turned one way. He was gone. I turned the other way. He was gone. And I said to my, where's Prez? And he was like, he's right behind you. And he had just scooted back. And I was like,
that happens to me with my big dogs.
I couldn't believe it. Right. I was like, where did he go? But yeah, he was fast. Yes.
But that thought of that with elderly people we've talked and a small dog, it's easy to trip over. There are a lot to bend.
Yeah.
We thought like a retired racing greyhound.
Yeah.
Totally. We did have an incident. He has had one accident in his life and it was like, I think he had been home for like a week or two.
Like a physical accident, you mean?
Yeah, nothing actually hurt. No harm came to him.
Okay.
But there was an incident in my house within the first weeks of owning him because my 3-year-old is so keen about the dogs.
Okay.
She just loves them. And I do play a game with supervision where she takes a cookie and she'll move to one side of the living room and I hold him back and she'll go, Prez, in her little voice. And he runs over to her and he gets a cookie and he knows to run right back to me and I give him one again for coming back.
Okay.
She was so excited about the fact that he'd run to her and she'd fed him that she ran back to me to get another cookie and she tripped over him.
Oh, no.
And it was this mess of Kelsey and Prez and he screamed. But like, you know when a puppy like screams because they're just scared, but they're not actually hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But like it fully was like she tripped right over him and landed and then she's bawling and I'm upset.
Your emotions, you know, the funniest everywhere.
Part, you know, the funniest part was though, my husband was in the room too. And it was to see which one do I go to and which one does my husband go to? And he immediately scooped up the kid and I immediately scooped up the puppy and like neither one were harmed.
Right.
But from that day forward, we were far more strict that when the puppy is out in the house, you may not run, Kelsey.
Okay.
Because like if she was to like accidentally step on or kick or like land on a big rough and tumble like Golden or Lab.
Yeah.
No big deal. Don't think it's a big deal. Yeah. But like honestly, when he came home, he was less than 4 pounds. Mm-hmm. He was 3.5 pounds.
So
and good. She is 35 pounds, I think, something like that. Anyway, she's over 30 pounds. She's a big 3-year-old. And like if she landed on him, she could really hurt him.
Yeah.
So from that day, we didn't yell at her, of course, or anything.
No,
but
no,
it
no,
was
no,
like
no.
We sat her down and it was great that we're playing with the puppy. Great that we're interacting with the puppy, but you must walk.
Yeah.
There and like now she's so cute. I'll go to put him away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she'll peek her head around the corner and she'll go, is Prezi away? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, I can run.
Oh.
And she'll like run around the house.
Right.
Because she knows though now. And
she has a zoomie.
Yeah.
She has a
toddler zoomie.
Yeah.
And I will like my kids have grown up with dogs. Mm-hmm. And I will say maybe what might be different about me versus other people is that I set very, very strict ground rules in my house about what's appropriate to do with dogs and what's not appropriate. And Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there, it's one of those things where it's non-negotiable.
Yes.
Right.
Like,
and that's what it needs to be because it's for safety, right?
For everyone's safety.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Like my kids, she knows she desperately wants to like hold him and hug him because she's three.
Of course.
Yeah. So can she hold him, hug him? Not exactly. When she sits on the floor, we've now taught him like to like jump into her lap. And she's in heaven. Mm-hmm. And I started with, by just feeding her as she pet him. But even still, like my kids know you don't wrap your arms around dogs. You don't pick up dogs off the ground. She could drop him. Mm-hmm. So there are strict rules. And it's like non-negotiable that you don't do them. So she knows you don't run when Prez is in the house.
Perfect.
Because in the first weeks, I made that error. I let her run. She was so excited about working those recalls. So now we're just a little more careful about it.
Yeah.
But he wasn't harmed. He literally screamed because I think he was scared of the incident.
Right. Yes.
But he wasn't physically hurt.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, so, but yeah.
And I'm sure that she felt scared too.
Oh my
too.
Gosh. Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. She was so upset. Yes. I don't want to do recalls, Mama.
Oh, bless
like,
her heart.
I was right. like, yes, you do. We're going to work through this.
It'll be fine.
Yes.
But it was an accident.
Yeah. So anyway, that's for sure a thing. When you have a small dog, you have to be careful. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They are delicate. Like his legs are
And
tiny.
He doesn't play with my other dogs.
Okay.
So, you know, we're really strict about our rules of like, you know, dog to dog interaction. And we want a relationship with us before we allow our dogs to play with other dogs. But he also has to fit in with the dogs in my house. So Highlight is unbelievably good with him. And now that he's 6 months, they have small amounts of time. Where like when I'm training with them, often I put them both on a dog bed and I call them out Highlight's turn and then Prez's turn. And sometimes at the end of a training session, I let them have like a little play. Like I call it bitey face. They'll lie on a bed or they'll lie on a dog bed. And they like wrestle and like play around. But I still have never let them run full tilt in my yard.
Right.
Because if she had a zoomie and was running and hit him, he could die.
Yeah, I had very similar. I had an adult Saluki, and a Saluki is a hunting breed for rabbits. And I had my little tiny fluffy Honda. And I was so careful in the backyard. Only I was allowed to have both out at the same time. If I wasn't home and the dogs needed to go out, then my spouse at the time was only ever allowed to take one out at a time.
Yeah.
Same with as they grew, even Ty had that rule as a young teen that if he took dogs out, Cowboy stayed in and Honda went out by himself.
Yeah.
But there was a few times when Cowboy would start to chase Honda and I could tell Honda wanted to chase her, wanted to be chased.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I thought this is just too dangerous.
It terrifies me a lot. And I don't even think about predatory. You would, of course, with your buddy, but Highlight has zero prey drive towards him.
No, but just a tumble going the wrong direction. Yeah.
She goes like as fast as she can sometimes.
Yeah. Just one paw could knock him flying.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really like, it's super cute to think about the Great Dane and the Chihuahua being friends, but like that could be a recipe for disaster and unintentionally one paw in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And
right.
Like,
yes. Yeah. Or I heard of when I worked at the animal hospital, a Yorkshire Terrier that was accidentally killed by a Rottweiler who just rolled on top of the dog in play.
Oh,
the two were playing.
Oh God.
And the Rottweiler was on its back and the Yorkie was jumping all around and the Rottweiler rolled over and crushed the Yorkie.
Oh man.
And it was very, very sad.
Oh God, yes. Yeah, so like my guys play in the house.
Yeah.
And then they like, I do hike a little bit with him, but he's on a line. He doesn't get to go full tilt chasing after the border collies.
Right.
Partially because I'm not convinced his recall's there yet, let's be honest.
And
but
he
also
fell down a rabbit hole.
That could be a whole adventure.
Right, Prez down the rabbit hole.
So I'm not convinced I'll ever let him run full tilt with my big dogs. Yeah. I haven't gotten there to figure out what it'll be. It might be that I teach them that when they're off in an open space that is allowed to be free, that they just can't full tilt sprint.
Right.
That's kind of, I think, where my head's at. So like often when my dogs are hiking, they'll like, when I get to this farm, I can run them out, they'll go full tilt. But then after they get that out of their system, they're not sprinting the whole time.
Yeah.
They're like, they're sniffing, they do little bursts. And so part of me is like, maybe after they get that initial out, maybe then he'll be able to be loose with them. But I'm not convinced I will ever let him race the way I let my two border collies race.
Right.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
That's a good safety measure for sure. And you're doing a good job setting the precedent mm-hmm. that this is not what happens. When you come together, yeah. you don't just go wild and let your hair down and, you know, yeah. fly off mm-hmm. in a fit of fury. You yeah. sniff, you wander around each yes. other. It's not
a safe
the party
walk.
Party.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, control.
And if you wanted yeah. that, you could too, you know, go out for a walk with somebody with another small breed mm-hmm. and let the
yeah.
two of them
Absolutely.
Run together if that's what you were looking for.
We should be better friends.
Well, Honda doesn't really
what?
Run. He's no. Honda's almost 15, yeah. so he doesn't really run full tilt. Well, yeah. his full tilt running is not. Prez would probably be very disappointed
oh God,
at
so
Honda's
fast.
Full tilt running.
He actually, and instructor Steph at the hall, she has a little Sheltie puppy right now.
Oh, mm-hmm. they would be good friends.
Oh, they had yeah. a little play session
oh,
the one day
right,
in
yeah.
the hall, and we let them play in the Life Skills 2 hall, and they were possibly like the cutest things ever.
I think Aww. It might have been, yes.
It was love, I think.
Uh-huh. Sheltie so puppy cute. On puppies.
I don't know if that's ever
that'd
happened.
Very puff. They'd be so puffy and
there
cute.
There would be nothing but coat.
Yeah.
I think that's what the Pekingese
and
is made of.
The Pekingese, when my son was little, I told him that Pekingese are the only breed of dogs with 6 legs. Because you know how when you see Pekingese in
no,
the show
what?
Ring, they're so coated.
Okay.
And so Ty's like,
oh, so you just told him this.
So I just told him it in passing. And I guess he remembered. And then one day he came up to me and he says, Pekingese do not have 6 legs.
That's
you
amazing.
Lied to me.
Oh right. Yes. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
What's the caterpillar of dog
the
breeds?
Is the Pekingese.
The Pekingese.
Oh my God.
The Pekingese, the only breed with 6 legs.
Oh, that's funny.
That's
funny that he believed you. For
yes,
a long
he
time
did.
Too.
And just I forgot. Like, I forgot about it.
Kids yeah. believe their parents.
I'm going to talk about fabled creatures. And
yeah.
Hopefully, we don't have any kids listening.
Oh, yeah. Don't yes. give that away.
Oh, right. Yeah. Kids out there. Pekingese do have 6 legs.
Yes. Yeah. Check. If you pull up the coat, you can see.
Yep.
Make
6.
Sure you ask the handler.
Yeah.
Make sure we're allowed.
Well, any other words of wisdom with small dog training, Meg?
I don't know. I would say treat them like a big dog almost.
Yeah, I love
keep
that.
Keep your expectations high.
Yeah, they can be wonderful, well-behaved dogs. They don't need to be the little yappy, biting at ankles, and making a ruckus dog.
Yeah, I think envision you have a Doberman at the end of your leash.
There you go.
Would you let your Doberman do that? No, then you probably shouldn't let your little dog do that.
Yep. Peel back the layers of the dog. And
one little thing I noticed with my 2 little dogs, mm-hmm. their teeth seem to get far dirtier.
I've heard that about
so
little dogs.
If I could go back in time, I would have been more diligent at brushing Honda's teeth and Atari's teeth as youngsters.
And get them used to it.
So
that is true. That a lot of little dogs have dental issues.
Yes. So yeah. I would go back in time
focus,
and
really.
Focus a lot on
That's good.
Teeth.
I should do that more.
Yeah.
Because Honda now has had, I think he's had about, I think 16 teeth removed.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, Honda's gummy.
Oh, poor little old gummy Joe.
Yes, he's got one canine. And yeah, so
okay.
I think Honda did have, I did start brushing his teeth and we had to do yearly dental scrapings. I think Honda was just genetically predisposed with bad teeth.
Yes.
But I do wish I could transport myself back
Good
in time
to know.
Now and do more dental work with him as a youngster.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks for that.
Yes.
I focus so much on nails and apparently I got to focus more on teeth again.
Yes. And I noticed Atari passed away young, of course, but I noticed her teeth were getting far more plaque than a big
expect.
Dog of that. Yeah, of her age. Like when I, looked at her teeth at, at 5, it's like, oh, like these are not what I would expect it to see.
Interesting.
Yes.
Were either of them good chewers?
Honda was, Atari wasn't a big chewer, but,
Prez likes to chew.
Does Honda still like to chew or no?
Honda likes to chew, but, he likes to chew different, softer things now
with his missing teeth.
Yes. But Honda liked to chew. Mm.
Are you noticing differences in like the tendency to chew?
No, he loves to chew.
Loves it.
But I give lots of like really high value chew items.
To encourage
I've had
the
to
chew.
Do dental surgeries on 2 of my dogs from harder bones. So they don't exist in my house.
Gotcha.
But yeah, he gets some natural bones and things like that. Okay. I think the only other thing I've said this before too, the biggest thing with him would be, in terms of feeding or what you give him, he's never actually ate food out of a bowl.
Yeah.
Because it's all used for training.
He gets to eat raw food. So he sometimes gets that out of his little topple.
Okay.
That's like something I'll put in the freezer and it gets him. Like if I'm at work for a late shift over dinner when I might not be there, he'll get a raw topple.
Okay.
But otherwise, all of his food comes directly from my hand because his tummy's so little, he couldn't eat a meal and then also train with me. The border collies, it would be like, let's take half their breakfast and that's for training, but half of their breakfast they get to eat in their crate.
Yeah. Right.
He's never literally eaten out of a dish because it all comes from my hand, from my pocket.
You have to budget.
I have to.
Yeah. Would he eat like a quarter cup a day? Is that?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I guess you don't really.
I don't really know. Yeah. I don't really measure it out very well. I'm kind of brutal about that. Right. But like, I'm also obsessed with training him. So I probably train him like 3 or 4 times a day and then like just little bits at a time. I would say he probably eats more like a half a cup a day.
Half a cup a day. Yeah.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. So you just keep an eye on his weight and make sure he's not putting on.
I feel that dog's like every day, many, many, many times a day. And I will say there's times where because he does get so much exercise, he gets a little ribby and I'm like, oh gosh. And then I put a little extra scoop in that topple.
Yeah, more training, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But sometimes he gets full, so he actually has to, he might be a dog, you know how like as they get older, we often transition from 3 meals a day to 2 meals a day?
Absolutely.
He might be the kind of dog who always eats more meals in a day, because I find he gets full, but then within a couple hours, he's actually hungry again.
Gotcha.
So in order to give him more calories, he might still always get 3 meals. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. Did you find that with your little dogs?
Well, I didn't find it.
As they were older?
I find it now with Honda, he needs to eat 3 or 4 times a day to maintain his weight.
Yeah.
Honda has pancreatitis, so I have to be very mindful of fat. So it's hard to keep weight on him. So I have found I can keep him at a good weight if I feed more often.
Yeah,
so he gets that actually 3, sometimes 4 meals a day, Honda.
Yeah. So I wonder if that is what I'll have to do with him, because he can't eat big meals. Right. So he gets, as I said, he gets trained many times a day.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's handy to be able to do that.
Yeah,
right? So
yeah, probably like 5 to 10 minute training session done, and he's full, and then we play with toys. Yeah, that's all he has. Yeah.
So do you use a lot of toys in your training?
I try
to try to offset the.
Oh yeah, he had a really more struggle than my border collies ever when he was teething. Okay. The border collies, if I was tugging and they like a tooth came out, you barely noticed. Their tug drive didn't decline. They were like, oh, that hurt for maybe a split second as I lost that tooth and then rah, 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 go for that tug. I was just telling Deb McCann this on Monday night when I saw her. He was tugging with me and he was right on the toy and having fun. And all of a sudden, one of his last teeth fell out. He only has like one more to go, I think, now. And then he stepped back and looked at the toy and was like, I'm not touching it.
That's a mean toy.
That is a mean toy. It hurt me. I'm not interested in engaging. And this is a dog I've been working on toy drive for a while. Right. And I actually thought, don't push this right now because you could make it a thing. So I went, okay, we're all done playing right now. And then the next day I brought out a soft toy and I did more of like letting him win and letting him get it and like less hard tugging. Mm-hmm. And I think I got to check his mouth today. I think we're done.
Good.
But I would say his teething process made tug drive harder than with my border collies. They just didn't seem to give a crap.
You know what? I think I noticed you talking about that. I think I noticed it too with my dogs, my two little ones. Especially Honda.
I could not wait for his puppy teeth to fall out because it kept limiting how much I could do my toy play.
Right.
Gotcha. But I just had to do it more carefully.
Well, hopefully he's done now.
I hope
so. Now you can go whole hog.
Yeah, because it's just when you have a little dog, you can't feed that much food.
Yeah.
So you better have other things you can use.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. So toys are huge.
Yeah. And aside from then food and toys, have you figured out with him what are some other rewards that you can use that you don't necessarily have to have the toy or the food on you for?
Other rewards. He really loves things on a string. His prey drive is high. Mm-hmm. So anything that like those flirt poles, I can guarantee he's never seen one. He would go insane over
it. I bet. Yeah.
Insane. Any toy that I can put on a long line and whip it around and he chases after and then he grabs it with both paws and he just sits on it like you're not getting this, lady. And that's one of his classic moves he does all the time. And then I just let him like chomp on it as I give it little tiny tugs. Mm-hmm. He does love to jump into my arms now.
Okay. Oh, that's fun.
He likes to jump into my arms and I give his little back of his butt a scratch and he does this little salsa, like this little butt dance. And then so he's in my arms and he like, this is just so much random information, but like that's one of his favorite things. Really, he'll like jump up and he's just like, and he makes these funny little noises and he turns around in circles and I scratch his butt and he loves it.
That's perfect.
Yes. It's so
I
random.
Like to think about all those other rewards that we use that we don't necessarily think about as rewards, but we can use them to help drive behaviors in the absence of toys and food. So yeah. That's a great one.
Yes. Yeah. I used to, Atari loved to undo my shoelace and tug on it. And seriously? I used that as a reward. Often if I was standing talking to a neighbor and she was being good, I usually move my foot around and she'd be like, oh, it's game on. And she would dive on my shoe, start pulling on the lace and... Yeah, just like a fun little game for her.
Yeah, dad, shoe die.
I actually let him grab my shirt sleeve a little when he's in my arms. Yeah. And I know that's so naughty. And my husband will be like, he's grabbing a shirt. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I've been letting him do that. And it's funny, actually, he has figured out I have like more work clothes. And then I have hoodies. And I always train in a hoodie, I've realized. Okay. Winter. Yeah. So he sees a hoodie and he's like, game on. I might get, and he knows he might get to grab at a shirt sleeve. He's never put a hole in anything. He just gives these little tugs as he's in my arms. And I'm like, yeah, get it. Good boy. And then my husband's like, if he grabs my shirt sleeve, I know where this is coming from. And I'm like, oh, whatever. Oh,
I have to say a story from Saber, my Belgian Malinois.
Oh, yeah.
I tend to train in a hoodie as well with the right through pocket, like the, I used to call them kangaroo jackets or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember I had all my treats in there, like enough to train a Malinois. So I probably looked pregnant because I had all these treats in there.
I hadn't thought of a bait pouch before, right?
No.
You don't like bait pouches.
I'm not a big bait pouch
Neither
fan.
I'm not a bait pouch fan.
Yes. And I remember I decided I would do a restrained recall from a weight position. So I left her in a weight and I went quite a distance away. And I had a tug toy in my hand and I called her and I ran. And I don't know what happened, but somehow instead of the tug toy, she grabbed the hoodie pocket.
Oh my God.
And went flying with it.
Toy
and she ripped the whole hoodie pocket, just unstitched itself and ripped and went flying with her. And every treat flew behind her.
Oh my goodness.
And so she was standing there with my entire hoodie pocket in her mouth.
Like, yeah. Wow.
What
like Christmas.
Yeah, and an explosion of treats just going everywhere.
Those are the moments, man, where you just are like, this just happened.
Yes. Yeah.
You couldn't make this stuff up.
No. Nope.
And I still wore that hoodie, but it had no pocket anymore. So it had no more merit as a dog training shirt.
Oh my God.
And nowhere to stick your treats.
No.
Now you were just
It was just a regular old hoodie after that.
That's hysterical.
Oh my goodness. We have the best stories that we hear from young wild Swanee and her Malinois.
I remember that.
Young wild Swanee was a hoot. Oh my goodness. Well, it was fun to have you on the podcast.
That's great.
I see a future where we have you back on again because there's so many interesting aspects of
Did
your
you see
life.
A future in me. I like it.
I see a future in you, Meg.
Thanks, guys.
I feel like your busy life could be a really good topic that could be really helpful for people.
I think my life is very similar to most people that have dogs at home with children and busy lives and jobs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that you probably have some really great tips.
So stay tuned
to have Meg back on the podcast.
Amazing.
And talk about how to organize a really busy life into something.
And we might need Justin for cooking tips.
Oh, no. No, let's be clear. Generally, I cook the meals and he just has to rewarm them. The guy has it pretty good. But anyway, maybe we'll have to cut that part out of the show.
No, we're leaving that in. You're going to make sure Justin listens right to
the end. Oh, poor husband.
Actually, you know what? Before we end, let's talk about the whole Justin proposal, because this is a really interesting McCann story. Are you kidding?
Okay.
This is famous McCann fodder.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So my husband was in my grade one class.
Didn't know each other.
Well, we sort of did through a mutual friend.
Through a mutual friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, the main point is he's in my class and he was in with one of his best friends. And so these two guys show up on every Saturday morning at 9:15. And I think they may have had fun the night before sometimes. So they came in a little slow to react at first. And I was like, I don't think this guy's going to make a great dog trainer. But I will say this about him. He has natural dog instincts.
Okay, good.
He gets dogs. He doesn't let them get away with anything. He's a good leader.
Okay.
Even if he's a little slower moving than the one. But anyway, so yeah. So he asked me out at the end of the program. He got more than a trained dog out of McCann's apparently. And
he got a wife.
Yes. And he did. So there was a night we were about to go out. And this is not unlike the rest of our lives. It was like if we're going out for a dinner with friends or to go somewhere, the only way I'm actually content and can relax when I go out is if I know my dogs have been exercised and have had fun.
I appreciate that so much.
It's like, it's just part of my DNA now. It's like, I can't work all day and then go out at night and just be like, good luck guys on the couch. Mm-hmm. So we were at the hall and I was training them and playing with them and trying to tire everyone out. I think we had five dogs at the time running around together. And all of a sudden I thought he was bending down to pick a tennis ball up off the ground. And I look over and there he was on one knee with a ring. So I was proposed to in the grade one hall.
I think that's the only time that's happened.
Right? I do believe you are right.
We have had wedding celebrations there, but that was the only proposal. Yeah. Right?
Yes. So I got something far better than a tennis ball. I will say that.
Such a cool story.
So yeah, we've got five dogs running around and there I am being like, what is happening right now? But that is my life in general. So.
It would have been hilarious if like the ring box was a tennis ball split and he opened that up.
Oh my gosh.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's romance, man.
That is that's right. Dog training
that's
romance.
Dog training romance. Right. Yes. Oh, you gotta keep that, man.
Amazing.
Okay, this was super fun. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Meg. Yes. What a blast. We'll have you back on again for sure.
Sounds
for sure.
Good.
On that
Absolutely.
Note, I'm Instructor Shannon.
Instructor Swanee.
Instructor Meg.
Happy training.
The McCann Dogs Podcast is brought to you by McCann Professional Dog Trainers. We help dog owners to have a well-behaved, four-legged family member. Please give us a call at 905-659-1888 or visit us at McCannDogs.com. Happy training!